the Shakespeare reading isn't until Wednesday. Yeah, I thought it was this week too. No, it's not till next Wednesday. That's right. Yes, I have to wear a suit. Well, I want to wear a suit. Plus, I have to. A jacket, a tie, and we're going to a Shakespeare reading next Wednesday. Yeah, I thought it was this week, so I'm going to stay another day because I've been invited to a Shakespeare reading. I've never been to one, and I don't know what happens there, except I do believe that it is quite an event not to be missed. A Shakespeare reading. Words of William Shakespeare. And I suppose there are more tea and crumpets. We went to tea again today. I'm telling you, I love this place. I love this Pinehurst, North Carolina, and my host, Ann Brechtelsbauer, is spoiling me. Now, you may wonder, Martin, you're not suffering evil for the evangel. I know. But Paul said he learned how to be abased, and he learned how to abound. So I've learned some abasement over time. Now I'm learning how to abound. It's an education. And Anne is being very patient with me as I learn how to go to these teas and these Shakespeare readings and these other things, these other wonderful, sophisticated things which require jackets and ties. So I did bring my jacket and tie. I'm going to take a picture. I'll take a picture of Anne and me in our duds. We're going to be spruced up for this, I'm pretty sure. All right, we're talking about Paul's gospel. I'm in Clyde Pilkington's book, The Church in Ruins. Get it at studyshelf.com. I told you a long time ago now, I got on a little sidetrack there for a week. We're going to talk about the basic elements of Paul's gospel, and we've been talking about the formation of the body of Christ. It's the only writer that talks about it. The only writer who talks about the body of Christ is Paul. Again, the body that belongs to Israel, it's the bride of the Lamb. There are distinctions. For more on those distinctions, please order my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. This book is the book I always wanted to find, but I couldn't. I wanted to find everything about Paul in one place. A history of him, a description of his gospel, what it meant for the universe, and I wanted all the different distinctions, all the differences between the gospel of the circumcision and the uncircumcision. It's in this book, and it's illustrated. I mean it. This is the only book you need besides the Bible to really understand the full spectrum of the gospel of the grace of God. Which brings us to the second point in Clyde's book. I'm on page 60, by the way. I'm taking you through this. I'm a conductor. Clyde wrote the book, The Present Dispensation of Grace. No other Bible author talks about this dispensation. Grace is being dispensed now. Now, see, before law was dispensed, there was a day when law was dispensed. Law through Moses came, but grace came through Jesus Christ. And grace has such control right now. It is such a numero uno player in the lives of people, or it should be, unless you're anachronistic. I went to high school with her, remember? And you want to go back to law, or you want to build an ark, or you want to circumcise your kid on the eighth day, go ahead. But I don't recommend it. Please don't. That was a joke. Don't do it. This is the era of grace, so much so that Romans 5:21 says that grace reigns. Grace reigns. It's the king. Grace is the king of the world. And that's what God's doing now. And if you're doing anything differently, you're not with the program. Okay, it's called, over 100 times Paul uses the word grace in his epistles. It's called the gospel of the grace of God. That's the name of this message. And this gospel comes on the heels of the finished redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, he completed everything, but nobody knew about it. You know, when Christ was killed, those in Israel, even the ones in the know in Israel, like Peter, James, and John, once the Holy Spirit came on them at Pentecost, they saw the death of Christ only as a sacrifice for that one dusty little nation in the Middle East, Israel. Are you kidding me? That was all that sacrifice was for? No. If Jesus Christ had been only the propitiation for the sins of Israel, he would have been slain like the lambs. The lambs were the type of the Old Testament sacrifice. They were the type of the coming ultimate sacrifice. But if he was the perfect type, his throat would have been mercifully slit and his blood drained on the altar. But instead, it's a six-hour torture fest on the cross. He's stripped, he's whipped, he's beaten, and all these terrible things happened to him. Nobody ever did that to the little lamb. He didn't torture the lamb. Something more was happening here on the cross. And what was happening is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was wrestling with sovereignties and authorities, principalities and powers of the world mights of this present darkness. He was wrestling with Satan himself for the control of the universe. He was wrestling to complete everything, to bring everything ever created, whether those things in the heavens or on the earth, to return them to Christ. Nobody knew that at the time. Nobody knew what the fullness of the cross meant until Paul. These secrets were revealed. The secret of Christ, that Christ would head up the universe. Peter didn't know about that. He just thought this was the sacrifice for Israel. He probably couldn't explain why the crucifixion. That could not have made sense to the 12, even after Pentecost. Could not have made sense to them. This is revealed to us through Paul. I got a couple references for you there, one from 1 Timothy, one from 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 through 7. For there is one God and one mediator of God and mankind, a man, Christ Jesus, who is giving himself a correspondent ransom for all, the testimony in its own ears, for which I, Paul, was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm not lying, I'm telling the truth. A teacher of the nations in knowledge and truth. Paul was appointed the herald of this news. Nobody else was. What news? The news that this human, Christ Jesus, gave himself a correspondent ransom for all, not just for Israelites, and not only for all humanity, but for the celestial world as well, which needs reconciled to God. Paul was appointed a herald and an apostle of that message. And then he has to follow this up in verse 7 of 1 Timothy 2. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying. It sounds so fantastic. Tell us another one, Paul. No, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. I was appointed a herald of this amazing message. And now I'm thrilled to be a herald of this same message. Paul passed the baton down to people who'd be competent to teach. And thank God that I'm able to do this job. This is the best job anybody could ever have. I'm sorry I complain about it once in a while. But I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. I can't do anything else. Woe to me if I do anything else. And I want to go now to 2 Timothy 1, 9 through 11. Speaking of God who saves us and calls us with a holy calling, not in accord with our acts, but in accord with his own purpose and the grace which is given to us in Christ Jesus before times aeonian, yet now is being manifested through the advent of our Savior Christ Jesus. Now is being manifested. It was being manifested through Paul. It happened on the cross, but Paul got the message of what happened at the cross. Christ Jesus, who indeed abolishes death, yet illuminates life and incorruption through the evangel of which I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher of the nations, and for which cause I am suffering these things also. But he says he's not ashamed. The only thing I'm ashamed of is some people accidentally associate me with mainstream ministers. Oh my gosh. Anybody gets close to calling me a Christian, I head them off at the pass. Just like John Wayne, I head them off at the pass. You're not going to call me a Christian, pilgrim. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I got nothing to do with those lunatics. And I don't. I'm aware whom I have believed, verse 12, and I'm persuaded that he is able to guard what is committed to me for that day. All right, the next point, a part of Paul's gospel that nobody else has, okay? The body of Christ, nobody else talks about it. The dispensation of grace, grace reigns, nobody else talks about it. They mention grace, but Paul mentions it 100 times. The gospel of the grace of God. Grace is reigning so much, this gospel is called one of grace. Now, here's the next point, the justification of the believer. Justification, are you kidding me? This is so much more than pardon. Pardon is forgiveness. Pardon says, well, you did wrong, but we're going to pretend you didn't. We're going to overlook the penalty. If you're justified, it's impossible to be forgiven. Justified means you're right. You're declared not guilty. How can you be declared not guilty and then have somebody say, well, we're going to overlook the penalty? The penalty of what? I didn't do anything wrong. That's what this is. That's how radical justification is. I didn't do anything wrong. This is a great advancement over forgiveness and pardon. That's the best the Israelites could hope for. And it was revocable. If you screwed it up, it could go away. And that's why Christians are so worried about losing their salvation. For this, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'll tell you the kind of justification we have. This is going to rock you. Are you ready? 2 Corinthians 5:21. I love to be the one to tell you this stuff. What a job. For the one not knowing sin, he makes to be a sin offering for our sakes, that we may be becoming God's righteousness. You're not only becoming right and just as great as that is, but we're getting God's own righteousness. We have been made the righteousness of God through Christ. Just pause and think about that. Pause this message right now. Think about that for 3 days and then hit play again. Come on back. That's an amazing truth we all need to think about. Next point, the temporary setting aside of Israel. Nobody knew about this. This was a dead secret. Romans 11:25. For I am not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren, lest you may be passing for prudent among yourselves, that callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering. The pause button, speaking of pause buttons, the pause button has been pushed on the nation Israel. It happened in Acts 28:28. And God is now doing a new thing. Israel has been temporarily set aside. That was a dead secret. No one knew that was going to happen. God revealed it to the Apostle Paul. One baptism. As we wind up here, I have two more points. One baptism. I need to spend a week of shows on baptism. There were lots of different baptisms in God's program for Israel. But in Paul's gospel, there's only one baptism. This is part of the secret. And that one baptism is spiritual baptism. Some quick references here. We're going to go through these in detail sometime. I don't know. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Not sure yet. Ephesians 4:4, 1 Corinthians 12:13, Romans 6:3, Galatians 3:27, Colossians 2:12, 1 Corinthians 1:17. Other than that, I got no proof at all for this. And now the last point, the celestial position of the body of Christ. Nobody in Israel had ever dreamed of ever going to heaven. Nobody in the world, nobody among humanity had ever even entertained such a wild thought until Paul writes the book of Ephesians. You get a hint of it in 1 Thessalonians 4. But Israel's hope, we know, was a earthly one. But the secret reveals a heavenly expectation for believers in this administration. Give you a sneak preview there. Boy, I need to go into detail on this. Ephesians 1:3, Ephesians 2:6, Philippians 3:20, Colossians 3:1-3. You have gems. You have treasures in Christ Jesus. We're opening up a treasure chest, and you're running your fingers through the loot. Look what you have. Let this comfort, console you, and give you an expectation. You are being given these things by revelation from Jesus Christ, and you could not get it any other way. Embrace it. It's real, and we're soon going to inhabit it.